So hello, everybody, and welcome to our NEPT case study call for the month of October 2020. And we're here to go through cases that you guys have submitted to me, and we're going to go through, and it's a learning process for, you know, helping you to go through a case so that you learn what the next steps are, but helping everybody who's on to see the thought process and how we actually go through and analyze a case. So I'm excited that we have two cases here. We have one submitted by Lori and another one submitted by Carrie. And so I'm going to start with Lori's, and I'm going to pull the case up on the screen and share my screen, and then we'll go through some of the labs that she's submitted. So what I want to say is, if you want to submit labs for a case study, I request that you do it in a Master Tracker document, that you go to the lab page in a Master Tracker document, and that you put in all of the times and the dates and, you know, whatever you're putting in there. When you submit me just a case, like a lab that came from the lab, number one, doesn't have my ideal ranges on it. Doesn't have that. So I had to like rely on my memory banks, and many of them, and most of them I do remember, but many of them I don't. Right? So it makes it harder. The way that I set up the master tracker is, when you put those numbers in, then the cells turn color if they're out of the ideal range. I can see things beautifully. I can see things mapped out. If you submit me four different labs at four different dates, I've got to do this in my head. I can't do it. Not in my skill set. So I created the master tracker. Now, for those of you who may not have seen the master tracker, hopefully it's on the new site as well as the old site. And if it's not, I'm going to make sure that it gets put in there. And make myself a note here, master tracker and new site.
Now, I submitted a ticket because when I pulled up the master tracker on the old site, when you go to US labs, there's no valid, I forget what they call it, invalid section or something. So it doesn't actually open.
What? It's yeah. Been working for years. What the heck? Okay, INE members. How'd you find your tracker?
I had found an old one that I saved in my files. So I just used that.
All right, so I'm gonna start with going to that and showing everybody where that's located. For those of you on the new site, I'll make sure, I don't know exactly where it is on there, but I'll make sure that I get you the link, and I'll actually give you the link right here and I'll put it in the chat. So take this link and save it if we find it properly. So I'm going to go into Okay, so this is the case study submission form that I'm looking at. I need to stand up. I've been sitting all morning and I need to stand up. Let me get my desk up and move my chair out of the way. It's just so long I can sit without it driving me crazy. Okay, so if we go to the site, I was just on there minutes ago. Where did it go? I have too many windows open. My sites, any members? All right. Okay. So on here, we should be able to find it under resources, NEPT resources, NEPT Master Health Tracker. Then we, on this page, there's all kinds of videos on how to use it and all the different sections of it. Right here, access it. It's updated as of, you know, almost a year ago. And we constantly update it. So it, not constantly, but we regularly update it. I don't know why it does this to me all the time. Copy documents. So we make it so that you have to copy it. So you make a copy. When you click make a copy, it's going to be going to your own Google Drive and making you a copy of it. It says waiting. Did you get this far, Lori?
Yes.
So there it is. Now it's a copy. So it made you a copy and you can decide where you want to put it by moving it, etc. When you click to Lab Results US, invalid range. There. So skip that. All right. I'm going to get rid of this thing. That go here. And then you go Lab Results US. It looks like something got corrupt in there. So there it is. Okay. I'm just going to take out that index because I realize now we have this. We don't need it. It's too hard for us to maintain. So we'll just get rid of it. So this is a template. You know, it's not a template anymore because I downloaded it, but we had too many people getting in and somehow figuring out how to, or requesting access. And somebody on the team said, oh, give them access. And then they messed up our template. So we don't let you do that anymore. This is where you can put all of the labs in. And Lori uploaded hers, so we'll get to see it. But it shows you everything. And then when you put the numbers in, like if I put in glucose of 128, that cell is going to, after it thinks about it, turn colors. And it's going to turn orange because it's outside the optimal range. Okay. It takes a little while the first time for some reason. What's happening? There you go. Turns orange. Now, if I put in a number like 87, it's going to go green. And if I put a number like, let's just say 100, should go yellow. Okay. So it's going to give you a visual look at how those numbers are sitting. The beauty of this is over time, you know, you put your data up here. Over time, you get to see the pattern that this client is having. So whether you share this with your client or not, or just use it for yourself, it's a phenomenal tool for keeping track of things. In addition, it's a learning tool because over here, I let you look at like, oh, what does this mean if this particular thing, obviously for this, it could be diabetes, insulin resistance, etc. But it gives you an idea, a little short summary of what these things can mean. On a call like this, I can get so much more done and really hone in for you if I have your numbers on these charts. And I want you to get used to doing it. It's not that hard to do. Okay? Does that make sense? Everybody want to give me? Nobody's even, they might as well be on an instant teleseminar call. Nobody's got their cameras showing. Okay. Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody's faces. I feel like I'm all alone here.
So Dr. Rita Marie, I have a question. Where did you, on the original website, where do you go? Because I'm not seeing it.
I go to, where are we? Who is this anyway?
Sharon.
Who is it?
Sharon.
Oh, Sharon. Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
You're not supposed to be on the original website. You're supposed to only be on the other website.
No, I'm on the new site. Well, no.
You should be on the new site because you joined us in June. Oh, right. But you were in IRSPT before that, so you have access to the old site.
Yes.
Right. You may not see it because you don't have access to NEPT on the old site. You have it on the new site. So you may not see it, but I'll show you again if I can find where that went. I got to get rid of some of these windows.
But you're going to let us know where to find it on the new
site?
Yeah,
I have to find out where they put it. I told them to move everything, you know, like those kinds of things over there, but I don't exactly know. So under resources.
Yeah, see, it's not showing up for me.
Yeah, because you don't have access to NEPT on this site. You have access to NEPT on the other site.
Okay. All right.
Okay?
Yep.
Yeah, great. And I'm not sure where it is on there. You know, I've got to get myself familiar with the new site. Okay, so I am going to now go back to I'm going to find this. Oh, I get too mad. Don't do what I do. Get rid of windows when you're done with them. When the person is not, you're not working with that person anymore today. Let me just shut all this stuff down. And keep that open. Where did it go? I just had it open. So hard to read these things. There's that. All right, let me try this again. So weird. Because this one wasn't the right one. How did I find that? I think I'm going to go back to bed. And we'll try this again tomorrow. Like, I had this thing open a minute ago.
That's how I felt when I was trying to submit it.
Oh, lordy, lordy. All right, had it open a minute ago. Right, let me try this again. I think this is how I found it. Okay. Responses, individual. All right, so yours was three. Here we go. All right, are we ready, guys?
Yes.
So this is Lori's submission. It's a female, 56 years old, 5'6", weight 200, occupation health coach. We've gone through this before. So if we're going to go back through and you're going to give me us the same case again, what I need is an update. So what's changed in this particular case, Lori?
I've gotten a Dutch test and I had additional blood work done that shows some different thyroid issues.
Okay, great. So we're going to be looking at this. So I'll just quickly go through this because we did this on a previous call, probably last month or the month before. So no surgeries, working on improving diet, working with a chiropractor, ND, et cetera, eating clean, exercise, working on self mentality. There was a few things. Tell me what I had recommended last time. Bring me up to speed.
More exercise is what we started with.
Okay.
So, and then you wanted me to get the Dutch test to see better with my labs what's going on.
Right. And how's that going with the exercise?
It's going good. And the water has been cooperating, so I'm getting more done.
Good. Okay. So we're going to look at the next one, which has the results. All right, so let's look at the Dutch test. This is her. Let me just look at your tracker first. Just have it open anyway. So this is the one where you didn't actually put it in, or you went back to an old one?
I did put it all in.
Okay, good. All right. So Lab US. Okay, cool. So the latest one's here. So we're going to look this quickly and then we'll look at the Dutch test to see how they play out. So, you know, your fasting glucose, it could have been that you were stressed out on the way to the office. Is this typically what your fasting glucose is when you test it at home?
A lot of times it's in the high 80s, low 90s.
Okay. All right. Did you get hemoglobin A1C done?
Yes.
Okay, good.
We'll 5.7.
5.7. Okay. So there's so we'll go to that in a second. Blood urea nitrogen is low. Oftentimes that indicates that there's some low stomach acid or not enough protein or difficulty absorbing and digesting protein. Creatinine is also low. Same thing. Your sodium is a little on the high side. It may be mean an adrenal stress problem. We'll look at that on your Dutch. Carbon dioxide's on the low side, which could indicate acidity. So the blood is more in the acid versus alkaline. Protein is low. So there, that confirms what we just said about the BUN and the creatinine. So you're either not absorbing enough protein or you're not getting enough protein.
I think I'm not digesting it well.
Not digesting it well?
Yeah.
So your alkaline phosphatase has jumped. So before it was, you know, it was on the slightly high side, then it went down into the low side, and now it's high again.
Mm-hmm.
So has there something changed between then and now that might have put your liver at more stress?
Not that I know of. They did find some mucus strains in my urine test.
Okay.
But that was the only thing that came out differently.
Okay, so maybe fighting off some kind of UTI or something. Your triglycerides are high. Yeah. So you got a blood sugar issue, right? And I know you're right. Careful and all that, but you do have a blood sugar issue. You said your hemoglobin A1C was 5.7. Your fasting glucose is 92. Your triglycerides are high. Back in 15, that's like 5 years ago, it wasn't that high, but your cholesterol is better. So you had a lipid problem back then. Now you don't have so much of a lipid problem, but you've got low HDLs and high triglycerides, very indicative of insulin resistance. So guys, when you don't even have an hemoglobin A1C or a fasting insulin, you can look at the standard lipid panel and at least get an indication, is there an issue that might be happening with the blood sugar by looking at triglyceride HDL? Your ratio is 3:1. We like to see it 1:1, right? So there's definitely an issue here, but you've improved on your lipid panel. So congratulations on that.
Well, I think that she's got me on plant sterols. I think that's what's bringing it down.
Okay. Well, whatever it takes, right? Yeah. Are you on thyroid meds?
No.
Oh, your TSH is super low. And before your you were super high. And now you're super low. To me, that suggests that there's probably an autoimmune condition going on. When you have TSHs that are all over the map, like yours, 133, 42, 31, 0.005, it's usually autoimmune. Okay, so we want to look at your antibodies. Your T4 was very low before, which makes sense, totally makes sense with 133 as TSH because the pituitary is working hard, but the thyroid isn't responding. So why is it, we don't know what your T4 is this time. That would have been a nice thing to see.
The numbers on the blood results don't read the same way as you have them, so I wasn't really sure if they did it, what to look at, you know, number wise.
Is this a lab? No, that's your Dutch. What's this? Oh, you did them in separate pages? It didn't come as a PDF?
The lab did come as a PDF. There should be one for that.
Okay, because there's three different pages there. Three separate pages versus one.
Yeah, I think I was trying to send you the Dutch individually because I was having problems.
It was the Dutch, but it should have been like, it's much easier if it's one, because now I can't go back and forth and flip back and forth. Yeah. So guys, I really would appreciate it if you make it as easy as possible for me on these calls to be able to look. This is your Dutch. This is your Dutch. This is your Dutch. Ouch. This is going to be really a challenge. There's your lab four. It's going to be really challenging because the way I look at a Dutch is I go back and forth and back and forth between pages. And if I have to have six files open. So as much as possible, if you can combine, you know, have all your Dutch in one file, it's going to make a difference. This is taking some time to open. Why is it not opening? Yeah.
So I have a thyroxine T4 free direct.
Yeah, T4 free. What is the T4 free?
0.95.
Okay, 0.95. It's a little on the low side. All right, so let's go back here. So, okay, so T4, this is the free T4. And what did you say was 0.95?
Yeah.
And you put in 1.67 though.
Oh, I reversed those. So it was 1.67 in February and 0.95 in September.
Okay. All right.
I don't know what the total, what would that be labeled as?
Thyroxine total, T4 total.
I don't see that anywhere.
And where's your free T3? And is your free T3 really 6.5? Go back and look at that, please.
Yeah, T3 free is 6.5.
Okay, so that's why you're... So something's crazy here. So that's why your TSH is so low, is because your T3 free is so high. Why is your T3 free so high, given that your T4 is not high? This is an overproduction rather than an underproduction, or a conversion. And so I want to start looking at, is there a testosterone issue? So we'll look at that on your Dutch. Testosterone can cause an overconversion of T4 to T3. And that's what we're seeing kind of here.
My testosterone is actually in the low end of the range.
It doesn't even make sense. It does, these numbers don't make sense, except that you have an autoimmune. Have you been addressing this as an autoimmune condition?
Yeah, I had a diagnosis of hypothyroidism. And then she said this time, because my TSH was so low, it went actually hyperthyroid, but I didn't really feel any difference.
Yeah. Did she say anything about autoimmune?
No, we're just talking about thyroid.
This is an autoimmune thyroid condition. That's what I mean. You have an autoimmune condition of your thyroid based on these numbers. Your body is attacking your thyroid.
Okay.
So she didn't suggest, have you been on medication before?
I was taking thyroid supplements.
Yeah.
And then she told me to stop taking it because the TSH went so low.
Was there iodine in that supplement?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah, that would be good to know. So when you guys put in cases, it would be very helpful to have all the supplements that somebody is taking. And if there's a specific, like a thyroid supplement, could be anything, right? It could be glandulars, which is going to affect the numbers much differently than if it's just herbs. And if it could be iodine, which could affect things differently. And especially if there's an autoimmune, it could trigger it if there's too much iodine in the system. So without knowing that, so there's something going on here. There's autoimmune. You need to address this as an autoimmune thyroid condition. So autoimmune is, you know, we address them all similarly. If you haven't gotten to the thyroid module in NEPT yet, I suggest that you go into the main site, the consumer side, and I'm going to show you exactly what you should look for and study and start to apply. So
I pulled this up. It just says bovine thyroid power, L-aspartic acid, and coleus, for sure. Yeah.
So it's a bovine. So that might be causing your, you know, these levels to be wacky. So I agree to stop taking them.
Okay.
Absolutely. I always do those glandulars are a last resort, as far as I'm concerned. Why is this not letting me into my own site? Okay. I was just in here this morning. Mercury went into retrograde today, I heard. And I will tell you, some wacky stuff is happening. Like this. I was just logged into this site minutes ago. Why is it that I'm logged out? I'll show you where to go.
Dr. Rita Marie, may I ask a question?
Sure. Is it related to this?
Yes, I mean, well, sort of, you know, I just remember you sharing a document about CBC differentials, you know, how to read CBC. It was part of Shine. I can't remember. Do you know where I might find it?
If it was part of Shine, it would be in the Shine documents. If it was on one of these calls, I know it's in the lab analysis module. Which is not, it's not in level 1. It's in level 4.
Okay, so I just have to wait for it.
Yeah, I mean, I can certainly find it, but you're going to have to give me a little more information about what that means, a CBC interpreter. Oh, you know what I think I know? Go to the recordings for those. It's probably on the recordings for The Shine.
That's a different website, right? The Shine?
No, Shine should, yeah, Shine is on this website, the other website. Give me a second and let me see if I can figure that out for you. So for in terms of finishing this up, Lori, see, you come into this site, you clicked on NEPT, you go to here where it says programs, you scroll down to where it says thyroid, you go to you scroll down to where it says thyroid, you go down to thyroid balancing step by step, you go into that section of the program, and there's a document that goes through all the different possibilities. All the different possibilities. Actually, I know I can give you a link to a document. Who is that? Was that Anu? I'm trying to recognize voices because I'm not seeing faces.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so down here, you're going to go to part 5 and download this. In this document, it tells you everything. It's a summary of everything you need to know about thyroid. Okay, so I want you to look up, you have an overconversion. So you read about overconversion. And you've got the autoimmune. And then most likely, and I always tell everybody, always assume they have thyroid resistance because most people do. And if you address all the other pieces, it's not going to work very well if you don't address it. So you're going to go to autoimmune. It tells you all the different things. It talks to you about herbs and stuff like that. You can watch the videos in here. You'll learn a whole lot more. If you go into part 4, I believe it is, there's a whole video on, let's see, thyroid. Yeah, thyroid part 4. You can watch the videos and learn all the things that the ways it can go wrong. Okay. Yeah. And then address it that way. All right. So let's look at your Dutch real quick. And as far as that document, I can find you a document that talks about all of the lab tests. And if we go to, and you guys have access to this new Empowered Self-Care Lab, which is just an organization of all the stuff that we have. I'm going to show you where you can find it. And discover your imbalances, learn about lab testing. I don't know which one you're going to see. I see both of them, but well, let's go in here, learn about lab testing, and I'll give you the link to this. The difference between the ERC is it talks to them about their coaches and stuff. Oops, that's not the right link. So you open this up, download the lab testing list, and I'll put this in your chat. And this talks about all the different labs and what they all mean. Is this what you were looking for?
Yes, thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Here you go. I put the link in here. Okay. All right. So Lori.
Yeah.
Let's go back to your Dutch. If I can get these open as JPEGs, it takes a really, really long time. They're big files and they usually clog up this uploader. So it's much, much better for you guys. If you're uploading a test, please upload the Dutch test as a PDF. Just, everything together. So this is Judge Pitt test page 1. I tried opening it before. It was just spinning.
We'll see. I mean, I can read you the numbers. I know you like to see it, but
I can't do a Dutch test by reading numbers.
Okay.
There's no way. It's all visual. Everything's visual. Yeah.
So the main thing she came down with was my cortisol is pretty much flat all day long.
Okay.
And she wants to work on raising that by possibly giving me.
Yeah. Well, if it's low all day long, the other issues to look at are, what's the ratio between the free cortisol and the metabolized cortisol? Those are all important things. Yeah, it doesn't work to upload. You tried this once before and it just doesn't work to do these this way. They just spin and spin. So if you can upload on the next one, just upload a PDF and we can take a look at it. But if you're flatlined, that's going to affect your thyroid receptors. That's going to affect your thyroid conversion. And, you know, and what's really important and cool about the Dutch is all the metabolites. And so, like I said, I don't have that memorized. I can't do that from the top of my head. Numbers don't mean anything on there. I don't even look at the numbers. I look at the graphs and I look at the ratios. So yeah, I can't do it. It's not opening. Okay. Sorry about that. But no more, you know, just a clue for everybody, do not upload me a bunch of JPEGs, like take pictures of your lab, and you got to give it to me as a PDF. And the lab always sends it as a PDF. Whenever we run it, we get a PDF from the lab and it has everything in it. And that's what we really want to be looking at. Okay.
The doctor, she printed it out and handed it to me. So I didn't actually have a file to copy it from.
Oh Lord. Yeah. And then you took pictures of that. And those right. are like huge files and they won't open. They won't open very easily. Okay. So always ask somebody that she has a PDF of it and you say to her, can you please just email me the PDF? Thank you. Everybody, and teach our clients this. That they should get a copy of all of their lab work and they should get it in digital form, not just printed out form, digital form, so they can keep a library of all of their stuff so they can be empowered to take charge of their own health and you can be their guide in taking charge of it. Okay?
Can you just repeat what I was supposed to look at, the ratio between what?
Metabolized and free cortisol. And then there's the ratio between cortisone and cortisol. You know, and then there's also all the stuff related to the sex hormones, because that has a huge effect on it too.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. You got wacky numbers. So, you know, I'd like to see why. But if you were taking a glandular, that's probably why.
Okay.
And if you want to look at some good thyroid supplements to support the thyroid, restorative formulations has some really good ones. That don't have glandulars in them. You can get into big trouble with the glandulars. And I usually only use it, like if somebody is flatlined on adrenal, I may do that for a short period of time just to get them feeling normal again, functional again. But it's my last resort generally, because I've seen people go from flatlined to like through the roof within 6 weeks, just because of the glandulars throwing it off. And the other thing is, if there's autoimmune and you're taking a glandular, it may trigger the autoimmune to get worse because it can attack, has more tissue to attack.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Dr. Well, Marcy, Marie, what's a glandular?
Glandular is actually a supplement that they basically take up. It's like ground up bovine adrenal gland or ground up bovine thyroid gland or whatever. So that's what a glandular is. I personally don't, you know, unless somebody's really desperate, I don't use them at all. I think they're overused. And I think it can just create like really dramatic shifts because, you know, first of all, you have to be really careful about the source and make sure it's organic and you're not getting all kinds of other garbage in it. But it can create change really quickly. And it's kind of like if you're taking a glandular on a thyroid, it's kind of like taking Nature Throid or Armor, but without regulation over the levels. So I don't like them. All right.
Dr. Rita Marie, I have a question. This is Patty.
Yeah, hi, Patty.
Do you feel the same way about the adrenal glandulars?
Like I said, if I see
glandular
who's flatlined, if right. I see somebody flatlined, I may put them on that for like a month or at okay. the most. But then they have to be willing to do the test again.
For adrenals too. Okay. Because all right, cool.
I saw somebody go from flatlined and she came in with her test and I'm looking at her. And I didn't recommend this. She was one of our practitioners years ago in a program. And I looked at her test results and I'm like, what the heck happened? You were flatlined. And I'm asking her questions and, you know, she had been, are you taking licorice? Are you doing this? I'm doing that. She goes, oh, well, you know, my local naturopath gave me this supplement. I'm like, what's in the supplement? It was a glandular. And it shot her so high.
Okay.
That she was like, you know, she was.
All right. Awesome. All right. Thank you.
So I'm super careful with them. It's a last resort because it's like medication. It's like giving the medication, but without any controls really. Right. At least with like Armor or Nature Throid, there's this many grains or that many grains. right? And they're tested and they have somewhat of a similar approach, but with this way, it's really not. It really isn't. And it clearly shifted your numbers a lot, Lori. And that can be problematic. And you know, if you get the TSH too low, it suppresses TSH. It just suppresses the pituitary. If you get the thyroid numbers too high, like that 6.7 on the T3, that's going to aggravate the receptors, kind of like too much insulin, right? If we have somebody that they eat food and it causes their insulin to go high and it causes insulin resistance, that can cause thyroid resistance as well. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Great. Carrie, you there?
I am here.
You're yours. Here's something I recommend for you guys. If you're doing cases with me on these calls, get an app called Otter.ai, and record the session as we're going through it, because it will transcribe it as we're going through. Yeah, is it perfect? No. Does it have some wacky stuff that it transcribes? Yeah. But it gives you an idea. So if you're trying to go back through, you know, your scribble notes, at least it supplants that and can help you with the interpretation. All right. So Carrie, tell us a little bit about this person and then we'll go look at your details. She's female.
Yes. And her name's Stella. She's about 65, petite, slender, almost in a right-sized body. She's within 10 pounds.
Okay.
She's retired. She had a traumatic brain injury through a car accident about 5 years ago.
Okay.
And her brain's been different since then.
Okay.
So.
And different in what way? What kind of symptoms is she experiencing?
So she's experiencing short-term memory issues that weren't there before. It's hard for her to recall what she hears or reads, and she compensates by taking notes. Mm-hmm. She's very articulate, but she's concerned about her word recall, absent-mindedness, like going into a room and forgetting why, being distracted, you know, attention difficulties and fatigue. She does wake up every morning with a headache, and she also mentioned that her heart rate variability is low with the Oura Ring.
Do you know how low it is?
Let me check to see if she, I think she did tell me that.
Oh, do you know that because you have Biocanic, you can actually have them sync their Oura Ring into the Biocanic app.
Oh, yeah. I tried to get her on Biocanic, but they said she had another provider that had included her. So I couldn't add her. It said another provider's already managing this client. And so, but she has no clue who. She doesn't ever recall. So I need to follow up with that.
Yeah, follow up with that. Yeah, because it's really cool with Biocanic. You can actually see how much they slept. You can actually look at their data before they even show up, and you can go, oh, you're having trouble sleeping this week, huh? All right. Well, it's not a big deal.
Okay. I don't know that she gave me the number. I think she just said it's low.
Okay. So interventions, she's done red light therapy, infrared sauna, mindfulness meditation, keto-based diet. What is Annette Bosworth? Is that the doctor that put her on it, or is that a program? Or
I think it's a program. She does 20% carbs, total carbs, which is low. Mm-hmm. As opposed to net carbs. It does use animal proteins.
Notice a difference with that?
She did notice a difference with that. Yeah, she said it's helping.
Okay.
Being keto has been helping with that.
Yeah, it usually does. Okay. And so what other interventions has she done? Particular supplements? Has she done... or had any brain scans or anything like
that? She's had an MRI, and that's detailed, I think, down further.
Okay.
She's starting to go to the Brain Health Center, which is, I think, where she's doing the MRIs.
Okay. Is that a Amen Center, Daniel Amen?
You know, it might be. It's in Santa Monica.
I wonder. Because they do what they call fMRIs, functional MRIs. And they actually look at different sections of the brain, and they're able to see which areas have been impaired.
So I'll have to ask her.
Yeah. Okay, cool. How did you find this person?
She's a friend through Brightline Eating.
Great.
Yeah. So we've been part of a group for many years, well, a couple of years. And, you know, she was just really struggling. And she's also part of, she's also subscribes to your memberships and a lot of your programs. Mm-hmm. She can get on the INE call. Is that the one? There's another one.
The Vital Q&A or the office hours or something?
Office hours, I think. And both Vital as well. And, you know, I said, you know, let's just do a case study on this one. Yeah. Because she has so much data that we can use and measure, and then we can do some interventions and then come back and see, you know, see what we see.
All right. So I'm looking here. When you say occasional dietary lapses once per week, gluten and alcohol.
Yeah. And that's, I think, one of the things, That's one of the things I think she's struggling with most is that, you know, in the evenings, she'll have, you know, that her stress level is fairly high because of COVID, because she hasn't been able to do the fun things she normally does. Yep. She's out of balance there. She's not seeing her family right now, except on video. So more screen time.
Yeah.
And so like once per week, she'll go, oh, what the heck? And, you know, I'm going to have a drink with this. It doesn't appear to be excessive. You know, it's like one, maybe two, once a week. But what the alcohol does is with it, she wants the cheese and crackers. So her stress level is high enough that it's been really hard for her. You know, when she has the willpower, she goes for the soda, you know, the sparkling water, and she'll add lime juice. And that's her goal, is to be able to enjoy those kinds of things. But for some reason, the stress is just put her kind of over the edge, and she just doesn't have that wherewithal to make that choice.
Yeah, and that's a biggie, and that's where your focus needs to be with her.
Exactly.
To really get her committed, like how much do you want this brain thing to go away? Because, I mean, gluten affects the brain. Alcohol affects the brain. These are things that are affecting the blood sugar, and if she's doing keto most of the time, but then she's doing this, you know, and that's causing her blood sugar to go out of whack, right? And then her memory, her all of that stuff. So it's really hard when you're in a healing phase, maintenance phase, maybe down the road, but she needs to, you need to help her to find something that can make her feel better without doing that. And, but really, maybe she doesn't get the real true impact that this could be having on her recovery, right? It's like Dr. What's his name? Bredesen will say in his book, right? If you've got 36 holes in your roof, how many of them do you have to plug in order for the roof to stop leaking?
Right.
And it's the same thing in the body. If you've got X number of stressors on the body, how many of them do you need to remove in order for the body to restore balance? You know, generally speaking, it's going to be all of them, especially if they're big holes. Right? Maybe the little pinhole over here of having a, you know, a banana once a week, you know what I mean? Which throws her out of keto, but isn't really harmful to her, may not be a problem, but gluten and alcohol are really, they're big, big holes, right? And they create big holes because they affect the brain and they affect.
So how long, so in her keto, she measures her blood sugar and her keto levels, and her keto levels are like 0.5 to one.
Okay.
Pretty consistently since she's been on the program. So how does that fall?
Yeah,
that's so she does,
keto.
It's low. So if
it's ketosis, but it's low ketosis, yeah.
Okay, so if she has a glass of wine once a week, how long does that affect her level of ketosis? Is it like, does it take days to get back? Is it?
It varies from person to person. It may not affect her. It's probably the cheese and the crackers that affect it more in terms of, so it's like looking at, you know, the every 15 minutes blood sugar testing, she can do that. As far as the ketones, She could test it that night, you know, test it in the morning, test it that night, test it the next morning, test it for a couple of days and see if it makes, if it does shift it. For some people, it makes a huge difference. You know, some people are just a little bit of a shift in the diet and they're thrown back out of ketosis. Mm-hmm. And it could just be a couple of days, but it still, you know, will make a difference.
Yeah. So how is the cheese going to throw her off? I know how the crackers would.
Well, it's the sugars, the milk sugars, right? It's the casein in the cheese. There's the milk fat, and it depends on the quality of the cheese too, because then you're getting into, is it organic? Are there?
It would be organic sheep cheese, I think.
Sheep. Yeah. So maybe not as much as it would, but if she has an allergy to it, right? If she has a sensitivity to gluten and dairy and she has cheese and crackers, that could affect her for 6 to 8 months.
Right.
Right.
We've talked about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a biggie, you know, is helping her to find some things that alleviate the stress, you know, take a bath, paint a picture, go in the, you know, watch a fun movie, a funny movie, get on the phone with your kids, right? Like reach out when you feel the stress is getting high, what can you do? Cause that's a biggie. I mean, yeah, we all have stress. You don't want to have
Fortunately she lives on the beach and she can just kind of walk out the door and walk on the sand, a sandy beach. So
yeah. Yeah, get the negative ions club and get the, yeah, yeah. So it's really helping her to see how much this can set her back, you know, and it can. I mean, I remember Dr. Tom O'Brien told the story about this one woman who was a nun and he was doing this and he's doing that and she's doing gluten-free and she's doing all this amazing stuff. And she just was stuck. She had gotten better. She was stuck. She was plateaued. She wasn't getting better. And he just started digging a little deeper. And he found out that she was taking communion once a week.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And he said, oh my God, so you have to, you know, gluten-free communion and whatever. So she stops it. And within a couple of months, all of these, and it was neurologic type symptoms that she was having, it all went away. Right. So little bits, right? Especially if there is an antigenic kind of component to it, right? So these are the kinds of things that when we're working with people, we just really have to help them to see that this little bit, this one indiscretion a week could be setting you back and not allowing you to get over this thing. And it seems like, oh, come on, you know, give me a break. It can't be. But we see it, you know, we see it happening, especially with the gluten and the cheese and the alcohol, the three probably worst things she could be doing.
Yeah. What would be the effect on cancer? I mean, normally she eats really well. You know, if she's doing keto, I don't know what the difference between plant-based and animal-based keto, are they equal?
No, they're not equal at all. So it depends on what, right? So if you're on the butter and bacon kind of keto that a lot of people are proposing and they're eating burgers for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, bacon, you know, et cetera, then that's really harmful, right? Mm-hmm. But if they're eating like huge plates of vegetables with a little bit of organically raised, you know, free range chicken or turkey or beef or a piece of fish, and that's keto for them. It's very different. Are they doing a lot of oil versus whole foods, right? I'm a big fan of a whole foods plant-based keto, but if you want to do it that way and you have a little bit of meat with it, that's fine. But it's the oils that I think are really problematic, especially when it comes to cancer and especially when it comes to inflammation, right? So you need to look at her omega-3-6 balance. And if she hasn't already done high levels, it looks like she's taking fish oil, but how high is it? Do a blood spot fatty acid test if she's willing to do that. You can just order it from Genova Diagnostics, have it shipped to her. She does a little spot in her finger and get to see her omega-6 and 3 balance. And sometimes with traumatic brain injury, people are taking 20 grams of fish oil or some sort of omega-3 every day for months to get the brain function back.
Okay, and what test did you say that was?
It's blood spot fatty acid. If you go onto the site, do you know how to find our lab testing page?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you go on there and just look up Genova Diagnostics. It's called Okay. Spot Fatty Acid. It's like $150, $175. And it's so much great information. So much.
I did submit a lab tracker for her as well, so we can look and see what she put in there.
Okay, good. Let's see. So dietary habits, whole foods, lots of veggies, animal proteins. I don't know that person. So ketones measured, she says she's getting more carbs, blood sugar measured. Okay. And does she do the peaking where she finds her peak and does the 15-minute thing to find what her blood sugar is?
I'm not sure. I'll have to check.
Okay. Okay, so she's getting the whole house filters because chlorine's a biggie. So it's always a matter of what's the toxic load on a person's body? What are the imbalances? And we correct them, you know, and it's sometimes hard to say what this fixes that, right? But what are all the imbalances? And so when you look at it, like the omega-3s can affect so many things, and it definitely affects brain. The other piece that has been found to be helpful, and you can research this in traumatic brain injury, is progesterone. Male or female, high doses of progesterone for short periods of time can help restore brain function. And then the other piece is, you've heard Dr. Otis talk, the brain time. He's done a lot of work with traumatic, post-traumatic.
Dr. Otis?
Yeah, Dr. Jim Otis. Brain time. Go to drreadandread.com/braintime and you can get like a free month of access to it. But it's these sounds. And we have a advanced clinical resource on there, which again, I have to find out if that's on the new site, ACR and B tracker on the new. drreadandread.com/braintime. It'll tell you all about it. We did a talk on that on, he came in and did a talk on the Stay in the Sweet Spot program. So if you go in there, mm-hmm. the recording's there, you'll be able to learn more about it. But that's what he specializes in, is post-traumatic brain injury. And he's worked, and it's sound, they listen to these sounds and it resynchronizes some of the brain function. Right, so it's awesome. Like this, it's a serious issue. So you want to hit it from all the different angles. So omega-3s, high dose progesterone, look into that, see if she feels comfortable with that. You could always do a Dutch test to see if she's way out of balance. But, and then the brain time is really important stuff.
Sorry, did you say peaking? Peaking of blood sugar?
Oh, the peaking. Yeah, if you haven't been through the insulin resistance yet, you'll learn all about it. But and that's module 9 in level 1. But basically, the blood sugar is at baseline, like fasting, and then you eat a meal, and it goes up, 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 up. The insulin comes in, it takes it down, 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 and about 2 hours after the meal, somewhere around there, 2 to 3 hours, it should be back to baseline. What's really important is the peak. How high does it peak? And that peak gives us a lot of information about how the body is managing the blood sugar, how the insulin levels are, how the receptors are. So yeah.
That's your postprandial, right?
It's your postprandial peak. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And you already have access to on the personal health side. If you just go in and do step-by-step through the blood sugar, the sweet spot, it teaches you all about that. So you can do that in advance of going through the insulin resistance part of any PT.
So she did have an MRI without contrast showing a solitary subcentimeter focus of T2, if that makes sense to you.
Mm-hmm. And the subcortical white matter, small vessel ischemic change. Yeah, so there's definitely something showing in terms of the trauma has caused a consolidation. Mammogram. Fibroglandular, stable calcifications. Has she ever had cancer? Because you asked about cancer.
No. Yeah.
Okay.
But her two aunts have.
Yeah.
Her mother's sisters.
So you know what I would also do with her? I would have her do a chronometer and have her put everything into chronometer. Then you can actually see. People say they have a really good diet until you actually look at it. And then
She uses it.
Oh, she does. So you can see. Mm-hmm. And how are her nutrient balances in there? Is there anything that is off?
I haven't looked at them personally. Okay. We just started doing this together. So.
Okay, great. So maybe she'll let you get on a call with her and you can share screen and then she can show you and you can take her through it and you can actually see where some issues might be. You know, not just the food, right? But the actual nutrient capacity. So a lot of people say they eat well, if they think they eat well, because they're eating better than their friends and family members. Mm-hmm. When we look at it from a different lens, we see that there's a lot that they can improve there. I mean, this person sounds like she's very dedicated.
She is.
Yeah. Calcium scan came back normal, carotid artery screen normal. That's great. DEXA, stored osteoporosis, and let her know the impact of gluten on bone health.
Yeah.
Huge. Okay. So let's look at her master tracker. Why isn't this opening?
It seems to be spinning.
Yeah. I know we were able to open Lori's, but not her JPEGs. Okay. It isn't. Do you want to email it to coaching@drritamarie.com and see if it opens that way?
Sure.
I just wonder if these uploader things don't always work as well as they're supposed to. Let's see, up to 32 megabytes. It shouldn't be more than 32 megabytes. Let's see, it doesn't say, but it's probably not 32 megabytes anywhere near it.
So my Dutch test just came in. Let's see. I'm looking for her email.
Okay. Yeah, just forwarded to coaching. Okay, any questions from anybody else so far as what we're talking about here? This a traumatic brain injury is something you're going to see. And it's really important for any case that you're seeing that we're not just looking for a specific, is there an indication of this? Is there an indication of that? Like a diagnosis. We're really looking for all the imbalances that are occurring metabolically in this particular person. Right? And so this is really an important piece.
I do have a question on ketogenic.
Sure.
I do have quite a few clients who are completely married to ketogenic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they feel great, obviously, and so they continue. But then they complain that they're not losing weight on it or their cholesterol is high. What is your take on that? And do you feel like there's a healthier way of doing this?
Yeah, absolutely. My way of doing keto is much, much different than the standard way. I believe that there's a lot of downsides. The way that people teach keto, way too much oil, way too much animal protein, not enough vegetables, not enough antioxidants. And so they get in trouble. They may feel good at first and they start to lose weight, but then the body's going, wait a minute, I'm missing this. I'm missing that. What else is here? So it depends on the quality of what they're doing. Most of them are like, have this oil and pour a cup of oil here and a couple of tablespoons there. It's just not healthy. If you go into the site, I'll show you where it is. If you go into if you go into NEPT All Access, or even better, if you go here to where it says Empowered Self-Care Lab, you have access to all of this. And you go down to, I'll just click it and I'll show you where on this page to find it. I have a keto, I have my version of keto on here. You guys have access to it. Why is it not moving?
Is that also in the sweet spot module?
Is it? No. The keto? No. Well, in Stay in Your Sweet Spot, I talk about it. And then there's the here. If you scroll down on this page, Empowered Self-Care, and it, you go down to where it says bonuses. You're going to see Keto Challenge, Healthy Keto Challenge, and Fasting While Feasting. These are both keto type approaches. This one is more like it's similar to the fasting mimicking diet, where you get the similar effects, but you're in keto, you're doing intermittent fasting. And then this keto challenge. And it was something I did live. There's recipes, there's guidelines. And people had phenomenal results with this when they did it. Like people who had never lost weight for years, like they were stuck, were starting to lose weight. My sister-in-law was one of them. Mm-hmm. She had elevated cholesterol, triglycerides, HDLs for decades, literally for 20 years. And every time she went in, and after doing this for 6 weeks, she went in and got tested, and her levels were back down to what they were in her early 20s before she had kids. So it does a really great job when it's done correctly. So take a look through this, and then you can help guide them to ways that they can do it. And this is available. I think you can buy it on my site for like $27 or $47, and they could just sign up for it and get it. Okay?
Okay.
But you have it for free.
Did you get the spreadsheet, the tracker?
Okay, let me look. Coaching. Here we go. Open. Wait, hang on, I get there. I'm trying to get rid of your pictures there. All right, now I can see it. Now it's in Excel, so I have to do a stop share. And then I have to do a new share. And la, 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 where is it? It's Excel. Where'd it go? There it is. Okay, good. All right. So see if we see anything really. So her glucose is a little high. I mean, it could be just, you know, sometimes people get nervous when they go into the office to get it done. Creatinine's a little on the low side. Kidney function is fine.
What is a good fasting glucose?
I like to see it in the low 80s or below. 70, I would expect to see if somebody's really doing keto properly, it would be in the 70s. So I kind of have this sense of like for myself, if I'm, you know, if I eat too much the night before and my blood sugar in the morning is in the 80s, my ketones are lower. Like this morning I get up and I'm like, oh, my blood sugar is 74. So what are my ketones? Yeah, it was 1.4. So there's a relationship there, but I like to see it in the low 80s. And again, you know, you have somebody do it because it's not always going to be accurate based on the lab doing it once. You have them do it on a regular basis. There's probably a little adrenal stress, nothing terrible. Calcium is on the low side. There's some liver stress here. You see these numbers?
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely some liver stress here. Is she on any medications?
Just thyroid.
Yeah, I mean, it could be the alcohol, right? Her cholesterol's too high. And this is recent. If she's been on keto for a while, I don't know what it was before. But it depends. If people are on a meat-based keto, a lot of times we do see their cholesterols go up. Her HDLs are high, which concerns me. These people go, oh, HDL is as high as you can get. No, if they're above 90, we want to look for a source of inflammation, and oftentimes it's liver. So she may have some fatty liver. She may have some other liver inflammation stuff going on.
You said if above 90?
Yeah, and hers is 129.
Could that also indicate malabsorption when your HDL is high?
I don't usually associate it with malabsorption. I usually associate it with more that there's an inflammatory process going on. And she's clearly getting the fats in because she's high. She's 287. Her triglycerides are low though, so that could indicate malabsorption. So there may be. Her triglycerides are very low. And that could be related to the keto. Her thyroid TSH looks fine, and we don't know what her total T4 is, but her both of her frees are low. And she's on like Synthroid, you said?
Well, it's Nature Droid.
Yeah. She certainly should be getting antibodies done to see if she's been on thyroid for a while and she's been medicated for it. You always want to check. Even if you don't, you always want to check their antibodies. Because if not, they're not addressing the problem. She looks anemic. Her red blood cells are low. Her hemoglobin is low, very low, quite frankly. And let me see if the iron was up here. We generally, a lot of them don't do iron anymore. So is the anemia, does the anemia predate the trauma? We don't know, you know, looking back to see what that looks like before she had the trauma.
I don't know.
We didn't do iron, so we don't know what it's related to, but these are definitely anemic signs. Her hematocrit is okay. Her MCV is high. This could mean B12. B12 is super important for the brain and nervous system and the regeneration of nerves. So you want to have her looking at that B12 to address B12. Could be folate, but you know, folate B12, but they will have to do with the maturation of the red blood cells and also brain and nervous system big time. And given she's dealing with.
You were looking at line 60?
Yeah, I think so. No, I was looking at line, 58.
Okay.
These are related as well. They're just calculated. This is the true number. It looks like she's potentially has a chronic viral kind of infection with this 41. You know, maybe it's an EBV, maybe it's hepatitis, cytomegalo. The monocytes are a little high. I always ask when I see monocytes a little high, did you recently recover from a cold or a flu? Because it's usually going to be elevated, either recovery from a recent infection or from a chronic, you know, and so it could be autoimmune or it could be a chronic infection. Her eosinophils are high, so there's some allergies going on there. There's definitely some allergic reaction going on there. And maybe it is the once a week dairy and gluten that would cause that, but that's something to be investigated. And there may be even parasites because this basophils is elevated. So there's a histamine type response happening in her body. Her homocysteine's a little on the high side, inflammation, but again, going back to B12, folate, and B6 is a possibility, and her hemoglobin A1C is 5.7. So if she's been on keto for a while, you know, I'd want to know what it was before she started. Is that an improvement or is it that it's just not the right, she doesn't have the right balance there? Her fasting insulin is actually quite good. At 4. We don't have any markers of iron deficiency, so hard to track down that hemoglobin numbers because we don't have iron and we don't have ferritin.
Okay.
And her vitamin D is super low. You want to heal her brain, that D has to be elevated. That you got to get that up. So find out what she's taking, if any, and then at 34, with a brain injury, I would probably get her on 10 to 20,000 IUs a day and then do that for like 4 to 6 weeks and see if it's elevated because you want to keep her vitamin D at optimal to get her brain healing.
Which vitamin D do you recommend?
I usually use D3 in a liquid D3. I usually use it like from your research or some of those. She's not vegan, so she doesn't care if it's from lanolin. If they're vegan, there's a couple of liquids that are plant-based. But I would get a good D3 in liquid form because then they're not taking a whole bunch of pills, right? If you want to take 20,000, they're not having to take 10 pills. They're just taking 10 drops, right? So that's what I recommend. And plus micellized forms of fat-soluble vitamins get absorbed best. Okay, what's this? And what test was this taken from? Is this just the blood? This was the blood.
Yeah. Yes.
So they did her cortisol, progesterone. Yeah, so progesterone is low. So, you know, we talked about progesterone being super important. I mean, it's not uncommon to see it low, and as well as estrogen in a postmenopausal woman, but I would definitely be looking at that. And her DHEA. So a Dutch test could be helpful. But I'd be looking at, for this person, her omega-3s, her vitamin D, B12 folate. So you don't have quite enough information, but you do have a fair amount of information to show that she's got a lot of nutritional imbalances that could be interfering with her brain recovery.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you.
Does that help?
That's really helpful. Yes.
Great.
Reed and Marie.
Yeah.
So what would you do without the Dutch test and knowing, you know, exactly where her progesterone is? I guess you do know it's low, but what
you
would
know
you
it's
do?
Low. So I don't know if, but it's the adrenals, like really looking at the adrenals, because if she's post brain injury and her adrenals, there's a couple of markers in there, like the chloride was a little bit off. That addressing the adrenals and just giving her everything, like really looking for what's out of balance in this person and what can we put back in balance, it's going to make a huge difference, right? And if she's stressed to the max and her adrenals are not functioning, her thyroid isn't functioning properly, her vitamin D isn't right, you know, we don't know about her gut very much, but you know, the gut is certainly affected by brain trauma. Right, the microbiome and all that. So I would go through with this person systematically the way we go through with person, asking all the right questions, but you want to address the blood sugar, the gut, the vitamin D, you know, nutrient imbalances, fatty acids. Those are all the core things. And then helping her with a stress management technique that doesn't involve cheese and crackers and wine.
What about her to help reduce the stress, to see if we can mitigate that temporarily so she can stop the gluten?
Well, I would look at a couple of things. I would look at heart math for sure. I mean, it's a really effective tool. You can look at getting her to meditate, getting a Muse headband, which can be really helpful to help people to, bring down the level of stress, right? Because meditating is hard. If you don't get the feedback, I have a hard time meditating if I'm just like, la, 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 you know what I mean? But the Muse gives me this feedback. Whoops, there you go again. You're thinking. And I know I can do it for 5 minutes here, 3 minutes there, 10 minutes there without having to do too much of it. So I would look at those core things. And if you have any other, just even breathing, right? Watch her as she breathes. Is she breathing from here, right? Is her like that versus belly breathing, right? And just teaching basic breathing can be so, so effective in getting oxygen to the brain. We have to get oxygen to the brain. We have to get nutrients to the brain. And vitamin D is so important for that blood-brain and barrier integrity, for the gut integrity. And she may have an autoimmune condition going on if she's been on thyroid for a while. So I would certainly recommend that she get those tested. Okay. The document I stuck in the chat earlier, I basically stuck it in there with all the lab stuff in there. You know, go through that and really make sure that she's got, you're getting the right labs to make sure that it's a full process.
Okay.
And all of you study that document because you know, we really need to be evaluating everything that people are normally not evaluating. Okay.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. What time is it? I'm gonna have 2 minutes. Ah, I have another call in 2 minutes. Ah, it's been one after another. Any last comments or questions?
Dr. Rita Marie, I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Where do you get that case study submission form? I didn't see that on the new.
I'll make sure it's put on the new site, but it's usually they're supposed to be, I can't guarantee. In every email that you get that says, here's a reminder for the case study, there's supposed to be a link to that in there. So I'll make sure that it's in there.
Okay, I don't think I'm getting that, the reminder. I heard somebody say that today and I don't think I got a reminder for the case study.
You didn't get a reminder for this?
No.
No.
Who else didn't get a reminder?
I didn't get one.
You didn't get one?
No.
I did one.
Who Who did?
I did.
I did. Lori.
I did, Lori. Yeah.
I did.
You know, I got one as well, Megan.
Megan did?
Okay. I got
Sharon did.
Did Stephanie, did you get one? I'm just looking at newer people versus that joined in this year versus last.
I'm checking my email right now. I put it in my calendar, so I got a calendar reminder.
Yeah, but you're supposed to get a reminder for these.
Yeah, I'm looking. I don't see one. Is it the day before that we get it?
I think it's the day before or the day of, but it should be sooner than that for cases because we need to get the cases, you know, having a chance to get the cases submitted. What about, what was the other thing I was going to ask you? So did you guys get on Friday, are you getting the newsletter that we send out that says, hey, this is your weekly newsletter and here's your, yes?
Oh.
No?
No.
Okay.
Of course, it could be that because I'm getting so many emails, from you, I don't see that one doesn't jump out.
It should, because it's like every Friday and we do it. I got to go because I've got to get on another call, but I'm making a list of all the things that I'll check with the team and find out why you're not getting them. And we'll make sure that the case study submission is put on the new site as well as the master tracker and all that. Okay, guys?
Henry, I know you have to rush, but I have a quick question. Can I email you about a question I have about the program?
Yeah, is it something that I need to answer or is it something for my team to answer?
I guess I just needed your wisdom.
Sure. Shoot, coaching@drritamarie.com. And if it's not something I can answer, I can pass on to somebody else to answer.
It's coaching?
Coaching@drritamarie.com. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, ladies.